You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everybody. You can join our conversation at 877-8-MY-TAKE. We've been talking about speculation in the oil markets, your opinion on who's to blame for higher oil prices. We're also remembering George Carlin. You can leave your remembrances at 877-8-MY-TAKE. We'll have many more later on in the program. We also have an opportunity for you to speculate. Yes, you, the listener, can speculate on the Veep Stakes, the 2008 Veep Stakes. There's lots of speculation about who John McCain and Barack Obama are going to pick as their running mates. And that's perfect for a stock trading game, and we've made one. The game is new, but Facebook users are already buying and selling vice presidential candidates. If you look right now, Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius is number one on Obama's Veep Stakes list, and Carly Fiorina, former Hewlett-Packard CEO, is edging out Florida Governor Charlie Crist on McCain's list. They all seem plausible.
Two women.
Yeah, that's big. And, you know, the question is, what's the future contract in those potential Veeps? Will people learn something from playing by weighing in? You can play the game. Tell us if you learn anything. There's a link to the game on our homepage at thetakeaway.org. And the idea is the prices for the various choices are based on coverage and blogs and mainstream media. So it's not simply the number of people who weigh in. So if all of Carly's like friends weigh in, it will be mediated by the amount of coverage as well. So that's one way you can get information in this political campaign. Matt Glazer, editor of BurntOrangeReport.com. Matt?
Good to be here.
What's your favorite Twitter, which is another way to get information on the political campaign in 2008?
Well, Twitter's been a flutter this morning, hearing about veterans issues in Texas with U.S. Senate candidate Rick Noriega and economic issues with Senator Barack Obama, and so it's been fun. Phone's been buzzing a lot this morning.
Now, you're on the estimated 41,000-member list of the Obama Twitter network, right?
I am.
And that compares with John McCain's roughly 735 Twitter members?
It is. And it's fun to see how the different campaigns are using technology this time around.
What do you think the difference is?
Well, I think that the Senator Obama's campaign is using technology for both information and giving it out there to the masses, but also using it to organize their people. I thought it was amazing that he was disseminating information about FEC and saying that he wasn't taking public financing hours before it was becoming public knowledge and telling people to go to his website. And I think that that's just the way he's using that information.
So that news was broken on Twitter. Matt, how old are you?
I'm 26 years old.
26 years old. In the studio with us is our friend David Wall-Rice, who's assistant professor of psychology at Morehouse College in New York. Young people using different sources for political news. Is Matt's experience typical of what you're seeing at Morehouse?
It really is typical. You really do see people using new media in more meaningful, different ways. So a lot of the typical kind of aged media of the evening news and the newspaper and even the magazine are giving way to things like MSN Online or MSNBC, CNN, and things like that. And that's what we're getting a lot from, actually, students in a critical thinking class that I'm teaching that's looking at voter identity and how individuals are defining how they're going to vote for folks.
Now, it affects how they consume news, what the inputs are for the students. How does it affect their behavior on, say, the outputs, either their propensity to vote or their propensity to be politically active?
Well, I think the thing that's so interesting is that there's a lot of information out there. And what I found in these kind of new students who are coming in, I'm teaching freshmen right now, and so we're doing kind of this idea of how to be a critical, engaged voter. There's a lot of information coming in, but they don't necessarily know what to do with it yet. And so the thing that's kind of coming out on the back end is, oh, I have all this access to information, but in terms of synthesizing it and making it, you know, part of who they are in terms of action items and agenda items, things like
or
that.
Or what's true and what's false,
yes,
even that.
Things are getting kind of lost in translation, so that's something that we're working on a bit in the class, at least.
Matt, aside from going to BurntOrangeReport.com, how do people sort out the difference between what's true and what's false, what to weigh and what to ignore?
Well, I think our generation especially is very good about taking in different types of media. I start my day the same way I think most people do, in the sense that I turn my TV on to local news and national news, and I start reading the blogs on RSS feeders and blog lines. So I'm getting both the new media and the traditional media at the same time. So I think that we're still seeing that overlap.
But that doesn't mean you necessarily know which to ignore and which to pay attention to.
Well, you know, the fun part is the more you take in, the more information you get to just play around with, and that marketplace of ideas being opened up larger, it just creates a better debate. I know that on our site, we allow for that marketplace, and when people disagree with us, we just simply have that discussion.
Hmm. David, you know, one of the things you were talking about earlier this morning is how this access to news, but also the ability to push into this marketplace mm-hmm. that Matt is talking about right. changes the equation. It makes people more likely to want to register their views
Absolutely.
And not simply listen. How does that manifest itself?
Well, I mean, I think that everybody's an editor is something that we've talked about a little bit earlier. And the thing is everybody really an editor? Are these really informed opinions that are kind of going out there in the blogosphere or in, you know, in the internet that's consumed by so many different people? So the thing that we have to kind of keep in mind, especially for these folks that we're talking to at Morehouse, these are first-time voters. So, you know, a lot of the information that they're taking in and wanting to give out aren't well informed and thought out. So, again, it becomes...
But they're passionate.
They're very passionate, but it becomes important to kind of exercise this critical thought and really vetting the information and making sure that it kind of really does make sense.
David Walrice, stay with us. Matt Glazer, quickly before we go, does everyone want a swift boat with their SMS Twitter feed?
There's definitely a group of people out there, but doesn't mean that we all try to play that game, so... Just you got to find the credible sources and stick with them because those are the ones where you're going to actually get some news.
Matt Glazer, editor of BurntOrangeReport.com. Thank you very much.